Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
And now let's meet the Irishman, right, who is agent to Jose Mourinho, Cristiano Ronaldo, and works for a company that has Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt on its books. He's from Dublin, and you will have seen him in the new documentary on Amazon Prime called Tottenham Hotspur All or Nothing. His name is Matthew O'Donoghue, and he joins us from London right now. Good morning, Matthew.
How you doing?
We're good, thanks. Delighted to talk to you. We played a little clip there of the TV show, of course, that people might have caught a glimpse of you on.
All or Nothing Tottenham Hotspur, which really should be called All or Nothing Jose Mourinho, in my opinion, but yeah.
But, you know, as a man who's usually in the background doing these enormous deals and keeping a low profile, how do you feel about making an appearance on such a high-profile show?
I guess it's good fun. You don't step out much. You're normally in the background, like you say. But the Amazon role within a football club, and they have a deal like that, is actually very behind the scenes as well. So you're not very aware of the cameras. So you don't actually, if you're talking about that scene in particular, you've no idea that you're being shot. So the cameras are in the bread baskets. The cameras are on the wall. The cameras are hidden away in his office. So the idea is that it doesn't feel intrusive or unnatural. So when you hear Jose or Dele or any of the players talk about not having an awareness of it from day to day, it's because they're so hidden away that you don't actually, it's not like there's a big camera crew walking behind you every step. So a lot of it is very hidden away as, to make it as natural as it is within the club. So when those scenes were shot, I wasn't aware. So
what were you doing there at that table with Daniel Levy and the rest of the Tottenham executives? And
we were signing the contract. So I represented Jose and I went through that journey and they wanted to get him in, get him signed and get him announced. So in that case, I went into the club, we have the contract negotiated and we do the signing.
When you're negotiating for somebody like Jose, how much input do they have? Is Jose the kind of guy who lets you kind of run with the ball a bit, or does he like to get down in the weeds with all the detail?
He doesn't get into detail, but I don't try and do it on my own. I've got a top-class lawyer on my side who'll do hundreds of these in his career. I've also got a guy who runs the football business for us, and I'll lean on him for certain things that he's done in the past with Tottenham. So you always try and pick off the bits of experience you have around you to make sure that you make no mistakes in the actual legal framing of the contract. But in terms of the actual negotiation of, I guess, personal terms, he gives me his conditions and it's up to me to get the best outcome and then we discuss.
I was just going to say, I presume that's not the way of a sports agent in general. When you have a big book of people you represent, and CAA is one of the biggest agencies in the world, talking to somebody who you've done the work for, you've got them in the door at Tottenham, talking to that person two or three times a day definitely means that the relationship is more than, you know, client and agent.
Yeah, I think with him it is. I don't think you can be the same with every single client. So he's one that I've always lived quite close in terms of proximity in London, so that helps. But I guess he managed Chelsea for a time when he was in that area all the time and we saw a lot of each other. And he's such a busy client to have that you end up spending a huge amount of time with him. And I guess over time you build a certain level of trust and now we're at that point where he's comfortable enough to share everything.
How did you get involved in working for CAA as an agent, and in particular in a sports and football agency?
I think I always wanted to do it. I always watched Match of the Day. I always had the idea of the business behind football. So I always knew there was a part of me that wanted to do it. I just wasn't sure how I'd go about doing it.
We all look at Jerry Maguire as the sports agent. The only time we've ever seen the inside of a sports agency. How close to reality is that situation?
The day-to-day isn't. I mean, sometimes it's like a lot of things. Once you get to know the actual information and the back of house, it's probably less exciting. Like when you do a deal like the one we did for Jose at Tottenham, like there's more sense of relief than anything else that it all went to plan and you managed to keep it a secret and you managed to get the contract you wanted and he's happy and he's at a club and he's ready to go. So, you know, there are moments where it feels very special. You know, when Jose won the Europa League in Stockholm, or I was with Cristiano Ronaldo when he won the Champions League in Lisbon in the dressing room, or I've been lucky enough to be at the Masters when one of our clients won. When things like that happen, you feel like you're in a very, very special, privileged place and you can't believe it's your actual job.
Do you represent Cristiano?
Yeah, we do. So Cristiano is represented in his on-field contract by George Mendes. For 11 years, I've worked with George and his nephew, Luis. And Luis and I represent Ronaldo for all his off-field business. So everything he does commercially.
Cristiano would strike me as someone who is quite choosy himself about what brands he associates himself with, or what events he's willing to turn up at. Is he that kind of guy?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's probably the highest earning athlete in the world commercially. So he's had amazing success off the field. And, you know, his social footprint is over 450 million people now that he can reach. So he's a huge marketing tool for a business with global ambitions to be able to use. I think the one that stands out for me is probably one of my first deals. And my boss at the time in the US had introduced me to a company called Herbalife. And this is actually, this is interesting for people who don't know the business of sports marketing. Everyone sees someone end up on a billboard and just assumes that made sense. The brand called him. He said yes. Mm. They met up the next day and they did a deal. When we were introduced to Herbalife, they told me they were with Barcelona as a team. They were with Messi. He was their ambassador and they couldn't be happier and it was going great. So that's when my work started. I knew I had a year of that contract left to convince him that Ronaldo was better placed to be their marketing face than Messi was. So I spent 12 months sending him presentations, showing him data, getting video clips of Cristiano to send to them, getting to know his president, sharing with his president the story and journey of Cristiano, understanding how their Messi relationship is going, generally just building a relationship with the guy so he likes and trusts me. So it took that length of time and even a couple of meetings in Madrid where they flew over a nutritionist and the nutritionist would sit with Cristiano and we'd do an open table session where he'd talk about the ingredients he puts in his nutrition bottle, what, you know, he would like in terms of a product if he was ever going to market with them and how much it means to him and how nutrition plays such a big role in his life. Because the dream deal is the one that's really, really authentic because then it doesn't feel like it's an effort. If he has to wear a watch he doesn't like and wouldn't normally wear, it's a pain for him. Whereas nutrition is such an important, genuine, authentic role in his life that he loves the idea of having a partner in that space. So what I was selling them was authentic, but at the same time it was nice for to get him on the billboard and away from Messi. So it took us about a year to do that and he became the face and has been for the last 8 years. So it's been an amazing partnership.
You know, you remind me of in a little way, and is one of those characters in Game of Thrones who sort of whispers in the king or queen's ear, you don't want him to run your armies, you want this guy to run your armies. Well, kind of that character.
That's the job. It's like the football transfers. You know, every club will draw up their 1, 2, and 3 in a position that they need it. But they very rarely get number one. So your job as an agent is to speak to whatever club it is and say, hey, my guy's the guy because your guy's the one you back. And so whether it's a marketing deal or whether it's a football transfer or whatever activity you're doing, your job is to make sure your guy becomes number one on the list. So we've inherited scenarios where our guy is so far down the list, but then you share data, you get them to meet the player tells about their passion for their club, the treasures. And suddenly you start to build a case where they start to think, actually, maybe we got this wrong. And it's the same in marketing. You know, people will meet you and have a predetermined idea of how they want a campaign to go. But suddenly when you open up all the data, which is playing a bigger role in our jobs, you share the data, you get them to meet the guy, you start to sell them on the idea, and it's your job then to make that guy option number one. And that's why some people go with one guy and not another.
Is there a sporting client or a brand or someone that you would absolutely love to get in like you did with Herbalife? Is there someone out there now you're looking at and going, oh, I'd love to represent, you know, whoever it might be, LeBron James or British Airways?
I'm definitely like that about, I'm definitely like that about brands. Like I always wanted to work with Rolex and I always wanted to do something with Pepsi and I always wanted to do something with Unilever. And I do get a kick out of knocking those things off. You know, we did an amazing campaign with Jose and Heineken that time for the Champions League.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Such an incredible brand. And we spent 2 days on a set with we spent 2 days on a set with Guy Ritchie and he directed it. And all the Heineken people were so amazing and nice and friendly. And that was everything I thought it would be. And then we put James with Pepsi and Dele Alli with Pepsi and watching that campaign come to life. And then we put Nico Rosberg with Rolex and we put Lady Gaga and David Beckham with Tudor, which is part of the Rolex family. So each time you do one of those with a brand you sort of dream of doing a campaign with, it's even more satisfying. And then in terms of athletes, I think we're lucky to represent an amazing roster, but you always look at what's coming next. Like, I mean, looking at what Kylian Mbappe does is incredible, or watching some of the guys in golf and tennis emerge, you always get a kick out of, wow, he's 19. And in some ways, when you've done the journey like I have with Ronaldo for 9 or 10 years, you know, you have an idea of what the blueprint looks like. So you're thinking, wow, if I got him now, I actually know what's ahead of him already because I've just done that journey.
Yeah.
So you look at it that way a little bit as well, saying actually some of what I could tell him is coming up could help him in the future. So if you're ever pitching a future superstar, that's probably the opening line.
How do you protect your clients against the sort of growing onslaught of trial by media in terms of, you know, something they might think that is innocuous suddenly has them lynched online and suddenly brands may be less likely to work with them? How do you protect your clients against that sort of social media onslaught?
I think there's a balance, right? Like, first of all, you can only control them so much. They're adults and they have their own independence and they have their own lives and they do what it is they want to do. But sometimes the bad boys sell more. And I'm not saying I encourage bad boy behavior, but, you know, in golf, you look at it, you know, do you want the guy who finishes 15th every week or do you want the guy who finishes first 1 week and last the next? And, you know, Phil Mickelson's a great example. People tune in to watch him either shoot 81 or 61. And that's more exciting in box office than a guy who shoots 65 every week. It's the same with football. You know, if you look at Beckham, Beckham was a villain with the red card and then he was a celebrity with his wife and then he was a villain again when he got sold. And then, so sometimes that up and down and that bad boy behavior can sometimes get people's interest levels. So you look at, because Ronaldo might dress different or because Ronaldo celebrates a certain way, or because he puts certain photographs on Instagram, it's what gets him the mass appeal. Is it everyone's taste? Probably not. But then these guys get people talking. I think it's the same as Jose. You know, he always has something to say and he always has something interesting to say and funny to say and sometimes or regularly a controversial thing to say. But it gets people talking about Jose a lot and he's probably the most talked about sports manager in the world because he's not afraid to speak his mind. So you want to be careful not clipping his wings and saying, can't say this, you can't say that, because then he stops being who he is. If you're a bad boy, but you're backing it up and playing well every week, whether it's football or golf or tennis, then you get away with it. When you're the bad boy and you show up on the Saturday at 3 o'clock and you don't perform, that's when you're viewed as the idiot.
I'm seeing this, a critique of my performances here, Matthew, I wasn't expecting, but fine. Well, yeah. I understand.
I can back Dave up and say, as coach of the under-9s, I think they just won 3 in a row, so yeah. He's backing it up.
I'm top of my game.
The job of an agent's also to be honest, so I'm just trying to tell you how it sounds.
Matthew O'Donoghue, congratulations on the career in CAA Sports and everything you've managed to do, and thanks a million for talking to us today.
No problem. My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Cheers,
thanks
Matthew.
So much.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, Matthew. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dermot and Dave. Listen live on air from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.